everyone, and welcome to the Her Journey Told podcast. On this show, we will focus on strengthening women's mental fitness through sharing the joy, struggle, and wisdom of each woman's journey. Our show is powered by Pivotal Moments. Go to pivotalmoments.org to learn more. Hello, and welcome to the Her Journey Told podcast. This podcast is powered by Pivotal Moments Media. I'm your host, Sandy Lutton, and I'm joined today and so super excited to have Erin Washington on the show. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And for those of you who don't know Erin by the name of Erin Washington, you might know her and probably do by her book, Squats and Margaritas, and her podcast, Squats and Margaritas, where she really talks about finding the balance in life, which is something we all strive to achieve, right?
100%.
Every day.
I'm still on the journey. I'm not there
exactly.
yet.
Exactly. It's not a journey, I think, that ever really ends, right? Some days are harder than others, but we're always there. So, all right. So, Erin, you've done some really amazing things. I think we just talked about, like, you know, finding balance in life is quite the journey, but I want to hear more about your journey. And I know that you grew up playing soccer. I have a daughter who's also obsessed with soccer, and you became a Division I collegiate athlete, and you certainly don't do that by chance, right? There's a lot of work and effort that goes into that. But you've also, had a very public life too, in marrying an NFL player. And so I'm curious, I wanted to ask you before we really jump into your story, what does healthy mean to you now versus when you were younger?
When I was younger, healthy to me was skinny, in shape for soccer, because I was obsessed with soccer. And funny enough, now I'm in my best physical body I'll be 40 in a couple weeks, after having two kids. So I'm healthy in a physical sense, in my best physical body, but I also have found self-love. And I found a healthy mental space that I love who I am. And that is very new, because for most of my teenage years, most of my 20s, I struggled with depression and I didn't love who I was. And there's nothing healthy about that.
Right. And I think your struggle is not unique to you. I think we've all been there and found ourselves there at certain times. And it's interesting to hear you say, you thought when you were younger that healthy meant being skinny, because we've all kind of been through that. And I think been told that in some ways. And so it's fascinating to think about once you get older. I just turned 50. So it's such a great space to be, because all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow. Okay. I feel better than I ever have in my entire life. Like, and it's not just a physical thing. It's the mental thing. And I think that's so important. And I mean, that's why we have people on this show, right? Is to talk about their journey so that we can help our own audience to stay mentally fit and thrive in their own lives. The idea is learning from each and every one of us, because we can all learn from one another if we just tell the story and stop. The goal is really to end the stigma behind it. Let's just talk about what we're all going through and what that internal narrative is telling us. So
everything you just said is 100%. Yeah. That's why I do my podcast as well. Tell everything
exactly
and make a woman feel less alone.
Yes. Amen to that. That is so true. I mean, so true. It's so easy to feel isolated in this world, especially when you're looking at social media and you think, wow, everybody's world's so perfect. Why isn't my world this perfect? And, it's just, it's not as easy as everybody thinks it is. But we kind of tell this surface story. So here the goal is to just get deeper. So yes. I'd love to hear more about, how your life shaped up. Tell us what your book's about.
Squats and Margaritas is a journey to finding balance. I'm still on the journey. I struggled for 20 years with eating disorders, negative self-image, depression. And I wanted to write this book to show the woman that was dealing with those things, how they can come out of it and how I live my life now. And that's what the book was going to be about. And I got a writing coach and she's like, whoa, why would anyone listen to you? And I was like, no, I just want to help women. And she's like, you have to share your story. And at this point I was not willing to share the story with anyone. I was taking it to my grave because I had, I don't know, it's gross. Like, you don't want anyone, it's shameful, all the behaviors that I used to do. And in taking her advice and writing my story, I realized just how much you can have an identity change that can shift the entire course of your life. For me, and it's funny that you said your daughter's obsessed with soccer, watch it, watch that obsession, because something that can be seen as, you know, you're a perfectionist, you're so driven, that's so wonderful, can take a left into something that it can damage you and could be very dangerous. And for me, playing soccer since I was four, I still don't know the answer to why, but that was my value. And nothing else mattered except soccer. I'm a firstborn perfectionist, and I trained all year long. I did, like you said, get a Division I soccer scholarship, but so did three of my sisters. And none of them trained relentlessly. And I mean, I was just next level. Like, I was obsessed. And I write in my book, I was homecoming queen and prom queen. And I say I would relinquish both crowns to have secured like a stellar soccer career in college. It didn't matter about, I don't want crowns. I want, it was, did they score on us? Cause I played defense in high school. Right. And like, that was soccer, soccer, soccer. So I go to college and work out all year. Like, I train relentlessly. I win all the fitness competitions. I'm working harder than anyone else. I know that. And I wasn't used to like not playing. We were back-to-back state champions. I was the captain. I never came off the field. So I get to college and that's not the case. Like, I'm sitting on the bench and I didn't know how to handle it. And in a Division I athletic program, like, it's your whole life. Like, you go to training in the morning, then you do your classes and you go back and you go to the training room and then you lift and then you go to practice and you're traveling. It's everything. It's all you're doing. So to be putting in that much effort and not get any playing time, I was like, this isn't fair. And almost on a whim, like, I didn't really think it through. I was just like, no, I'm not going to play anymore. Thinking like, it'll be fine.
Interesting.
I realized then how much soccer meant to me. And it was like, when that was gone, it's like, then what is left? Like, who are you? And I couldn't go to the athlete building anymore. I had to go work out at the student rec. And it sounds like, oh, poor thing. But like, it did something to me, Sandy. I was just like, I wasn't an athlete, and fell into a deep depression. I still lived in the soccer house. So the girls would like go to their games, and I'm just sitting there feeling sorry for myself. And it started like, well, basically when you're training in a Division I program, you are working out with trainers all the time. So I just quit soccer in the middle of the season, and I'm still eating the same and not working out with a Division I trainer. So I gained weight, and it started as a way to what I thought to get rid of the extra weight. I started throwing up my food, and I hid it from everyone in my house. And then it evolved into just, it wasn't even like to lose weight anymore. It was like my mind was programmed to binge and purge. They would go on soccer trips, I would binge and purge. And it was like, I feel like now something that I could control when everything else felt out of control. It's like, this is what I do now. I could not stop. Like, I struggled for 10 years and I hid it from everyone. But I wrote the book to share that, and share that if somebody is struggling with an eating disorder and feeling like they will never be able to come out of it, because that's exactly how I felt. You can. Right. Here's my story. Here's what I'm doing now. And I ended up telling my story to almost like build trust, like with my reader, like, don't take my word for it. Like, oh, just lift heavy. And like, this is what I dealt with. And this is what I found on this journey to finding balance. And now I live like squats and margaritas is a balanced lifestyle. I enjoy my life. I work out 4 or 5 times a week, not 7, not psychotic. You couldn't pay me to take a day off 7. I eat whatever I want, and I'm in my best physical body after having 2 kids. I run a faster mile I'll be 40 next week, than I did as a Division I athlete. So I found a better way, and I'm happier now. And I wrote the book to the woman that was me 20 years ago, 10 years ago, feeling like they're struggling, they're doing everything right, they're not losing weight. Like, here's how I figured this out and found a happier life, and here's how you can do it too.
Love it. I absolutely love it. And I think what you're talking about, again, is not unique to you. So many people have struggled with this, and it can be a control thing. And what can I control in my life? And sometimes it's the worst thing we could do for ourselves, right? But it's just where the way you're wired at that moment. I'm curious, when you were going through it and in your darkest times, like, what got you through ultimately?
It's a wonderful question. I don't I had to live. Like, every day I had to get up, and there was nothing. Like, I didn't see, obviously I wasn't dating my husband. I didn't see a family from, like, I was in depression where, to the point where I lived in DC. It was expensive. I made nothing at my job. I lived in, it was basically the size of my current closet. And I would come home on Friday and not come out of that little room until Monday to go back to work. Like, I was in such a dark place. I don't even know what got me through it. Like, now I know why I went through that, because I can share my message. I say a lot, like, make your mess your message. Like, I went through all of that so that I could be where I'm at now and help, even if it's just one person that is still where I was. Like, I needed to get through it and to find my purpose, which is this. But at that time, it was dark. I was still kind of depressed. When I met my husband, it's when you have an obsessive personality. Obviously, I was obsessed about soccer, and then it, like, the obsessive nature of, like, eating disorders and working out and all those things. I kind of channeled my obsession to him and making sure he wasn't cheating on me. Like, he was in the prime of his career, and I had no self-love at that point. And I almost, like, became so obsessive about him and our relationship that my eating disorder kind of fell away. And it sounds like, people would be like, how did you stop? I don't remember a day that I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. It was just that my obsession was channeled towards another obsession, because I'm an obsessive personality. And if you are obsessing on something else, like, the other thing kind of isn't priority anymore. And that's honestly, like, how I stopped and came out of it, because I was just obsessed about my boyfriend at the time cheating on me and didn't have time to obsess about anything else.
Right. So you also talked about, you never told anyone about mm-hmm. your eating disorder. Mm-hmm. So you're living with this secret, you know, going out of your way to, I'm sure, to ensure that no one knows. Like, talk about the weight of that.
It's just so isolating. And when you're saying that, it makes me think of, like, COVID. Like, anybody that's still dealing with something like that and was isolated and alone, like, your eating disorder will thrive in isolation because it is such a secretive thing. And it wasn't even an option. I was never going to tell anyone. Like, when this book came out, I had to sit down with my family and be like, so, I mean, they knew, it wasn't like they needed me to say, like, something, I'm struggling with something. You could tell. I don't know if you're familiar, like, bulimia. I feel like everybody thinks, oh, you throw up your food, you're super skinny. Not the case at all for me. Purging, you throw off all of your hormones, and I was bloated and puffy, and clearly, like, they knew something was wrong. Like, I looked like I was in a fat suit of my body, but no one's thinking eating disorder because I'm, like, heavy. No one's thinking, like, oh, you know, she must be have an eating disorder because I wasn't skinny. So they knew something was wrong, but I would never, just the shame of somebody knowing what I was doing, I would never let anybody know. And I was going to take it to my grave. Like, I, until that writing course was like, no one is going to listen to you unless you share your story. Like, I have abs on the front of my book. And I was like, oh, no, those are new. Like, I didn't have those before. And she's like, share, like, where you came from. And I was like, no, I didn't want anybody to look at me and be like, oh. But now it's like, I can say, if you have a secret, whatever that big thing is, once you share that, nothing is scary anymore. Like, I share everything now, because since I've shared the big one, it's like nobody, like, nothing else is scary. Like, I'll be like, oh, God, I had a really weird period. Like, my stomach, and my husband's like, thanks. Okay, cool. And I'm like, oh, too much. Like, I'm just like, oh, like, things that you wouldn't say, I say, and I'm, because that big one is off. I feel lighter. I know that I went through all of that to share my message with someone else that's struggling. And it's like meaningful now. Like, now I know why I had that struggle, because before now I didn't really feel a purpose in my life. Obviously I was a wife and mother, but And that's a whole nother podcast, because I said that that's all I wanted to do. And now I've like launched this brand, but I know that this is what I'm supposed to do now. And I know right. that I went through all of that and I had to share it. And now that it's, and the thing is, Sandy, like I didn't even share it to a person. I just wrote it, and I didn't even like, right. like send it to my editor yet. But it was like, as soon as I wrote it on paper, it was out, and it was like, I couldn't breathe.
And it's freedom. You gave yourself freedom.
Else. Yeah. Right. There's nothing else. Like, you have everything on me. And now it's like, what are you hiding? Like, I feel like exactly. you got everything on me. So it just makes you feel, I mean, so much lighter. Freedom. Yes.
It's totally. And you talk about the shame of it all. We've all experienced something in our lives or done something that caused us shame. And I find that it is very difficult, number one, to talk about it. But once you finally open up to that first person and then the next person, or in your case, you did it in a book, like it couldn't have been a more public forum, really. There's a sense, you start to feel a sense of relief. And I feel like it starts to peel away that weight that you're under. And, yeah. and it takes such courage to do that. But man, Sandy,
like,
is it,
I'm not alone. Like it made right. me feel, sharing that in my book, you don't know how many people message me. And they're like, me too. I haven't even mm-hmm. told my husband. You're the first person I've told. And to be that wow. for someone else, because they're like, I didn't know we could say it out loud. Like, it's something like you. And then I catch myself, because I know that everybody doesn't share like this. And I'll just be like, well, I used to throw up my food or something. And I can see like on my show, people are like, oh, okay. Like, but I'm just so open about it now. And it's like something that wasn't, you don't talk about that. You don't share that. But because I did, all these women, I feel like, feel seen. And even if they're just messaging me, like they've told somebody that they have right. this. And now I can be the person for them to be like, you don't have to do this for the rest of your life. Like there's something else and you can come out of it. And here's exactly how I did. It's, you're not alone. Whatever your secret is, just know you are so far from alone. It's just that nobody wants to share those things and not, like you said earlier, project this perfect Instagram yes. image mm-hmm. of, and like, I don't, the other day I am guilty of it, because I was trying to post something like a Monday motivation thing about how I showed a picture before and it was like, you can change your life. It's not too late. And then I'm like, I'm in like this sports bra and like showing my abs, like trying to like motivate. And then when I was done filming, I went to like scratch my leg and I looked in the mirror and it was just like all my rolls and like skin were over my shorts. And I stopped and I took the picture and I said, if we're going to post this, like the first picture, then we need to post the second one, because this is normal. You just don't see it because everybody posts their highlight reel and they post the flattering shot. Cause it's like, why would I post an unflattering shot? But if people posted the unflattering shot, it would allow you to be like, oh my God, her stomach looks just like mine. And nobody feel the pressure to live up to a standard that is not even, it's just angles and lighting. That was my same body right. 10 seconds later. I was just standing yep. a certain way. So I posted it. And 10 years ago, I posted a picture of my belly rolls on Instagram, like would not ever happen. But I know this is my purpose now, to make somebody else be like, okay, it's not, like I could have posted just the first one and been like, everybody get, no, but that's not reality. And if everybody right. would do it, then no one would have to live up to the, and I know it's easier, like I'm acting like, oh, just share all your things. And it's hard, but if everyone just projected who they are, and there wouldn't be any like mental stuff that like moms and women go through trying to live up to something that is angles and lighting and not even real.
Right, right. It's so true. And when I said freedom, sometimes people have asked me like, what do you mean by that? But it's freedom to be your true self.
Yes.
And I think we're always on this journey to be happy and find joy, but that is the journey to finding happiness, right? Is finding your true self and just getting to be you. I think that is probably the most freeing thing anyone could ever experience. And it's hard and it's scary, but at the same time, on the other side of it, it's so beautiful. So it's just such a huge opportunity for us to just really look at ourselves and say, am I really being true to myself? Am I really being true to everyone else? Am I projecting who I really am? And yeah. making sure we find those opportunities to do that.
And if you're not doing that, like any likes or comments that you're getting about something that is not even you, and I like, something that's been filtered and all these things. And it's like, oh my gosh, you're so great. You're so fit. You're so beautiful. And you know, that's a filtered picture or something. To be able to just be yourself and people be like, yes, that is so gratifying. Cause it's like, this is me. And some people aren't going to like it. And I still struggle with like trolls and negative comments because as a woman, like we all, you could get 100 positive, one negative, and you're like,
That's only the first thing you see too. And it like stays right here in your head.
Because it's like, why would you say that? And then I'm like, what? I start to think like, maybe they're right. And like a woman said, this is a woman. I thought it was a man on a poster that, I mean, a post that I picked, picture that I posted, and I'm muscular. And I was like, well, that was mean. And then I'm like, well, like I'm not a man. So like, why am I, stressing out that she called me a man? Like, but it was so like, I was like, she took the time to do that. But now, and I feel like just recently, maybe it's like comes with age. Like I am just like, get out, like girl, bye. Like you,
right.
You think I'm a man? Fine. Keep it moving. But like very recently, because when people would say things like, or somebody be like, I'm too, it's always that I'm too muscular, like not the body type I would want. Like she doesn't even look feminine. And I'd be like, but a trainer that was on my show, she's like, are you lifting and working out to gain muscle and be strong? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, then what she's saying is support of what you're doing. Like she's strong and muscular and that's what you want to be. So why are you upset? And I was like, like, she's like, if she's saying something that is not something that you're like, she's basically saying like, look at how muscular you are and that's what you want. But it's just me. Like, you just don't want to, you're not going to please everyone. And I for so long tried so hard.
Oh yes.
To get everybody to me. But it's exhausting and it's never going to happen. Like you're not going to please everyone. I don't know why it made me just say this, but I thought of this, but I feel like I should share. Andy Cohen put on Instagram like a couple weeks ago, a DM that he got from someone. He is a father. And it was like, the DM was like, maybe you should focus more on your son and be home with your son and not out partying or something. He said something like that. So he wrote back, what am I doing wrong? And the person was like, whoa, I didn't think you were going to respond. I was just being mean. You're right. I think you're a great dad. And he screenshot it and said, anybody that's stressing, like people are just bored and mean. And that person didn't even mean that. He just was like trying to, you know, it's like, you can't, like, and if he would have really taken that to heart and be like, oh my God, I'm not a good dad. He didn't even feel that way. It's like, people just say things. And he was like, what am I doing wrong? He's like, oh, actually nothing. You're actually a great dad. People are just mean and you cannot take anything, like any kind of judgment from it. And you, if you know yourself and your self-worth, which I found very recently, those comments aren't going to get you down anymore. But if you're feeling a certain way about yourself, like if I was very concerned about my weight always. And if somebody said something about my weight, because that's something that bothered me as well, it really hurt. But now that I am happy with myself, it's not, nothing's going to, I mean, it's hard, but it's like, I'm not going to dwell on it like I would like 10 years ago.
Right. And you know, I think what's interesting too is, and I'm going to speak for you, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, you work out not so that you can get approval from everyone else. That's not it's not about that anymore, right? It's about how it makes you feel, how you feel when you, about yourself when you look in the mirror. So if it makes you happy, you know, and I totally get it because I would do the same thing, but if it makes you happy, it shouldn't matter what everyone else says, but it does, right?
It does.
There's still that part of you that's like,
once the reassurance,
acceptance and the reassurance. And I totally get that. And I think it's interesting too, as moms or any parent, really, we have to set the example for our children. And again, you see them go through these things as they get older and you know what other people are saying and they want to wear certain things or dress a certain way. And you're like, just be yourself, do your own thing.
My daughter is five.
Someone will say something.
I know. It's so funny you're saying that. She's five and like, I love her style. Like she is unique. And if we're going out to dinner, I mean, there's going to be some sort of tutu. There's going to be like a vest. And I'm like, and I let her go. And it's like, I love that. But like, I think about that. Like when she's like eight, are people going to be like, are other girls, like it hurts my stomach to even think about like mean girls and the things that she'll have to deal with for being completely herself. And it's like, part of me wants her to never lose it and be an individual. But I know how much that's going to make her struggle when she gets into like middle school. And then I think she's the firstborn. She is definitely a perfectionist. And I wonder about, I didn't have any social media or anything when I was feeling that way and putting all that pressure on myself, which she'll have to grow up with. Like, it's going to be so much harder for her. And so I watch everything that I say in front of her, my language, anything that could trigger any kind of mess. I don't want a scale in the house, like nothing to like, it would be so much harder on me to see my daughter struggle like I did than what I went through. Like, it sucked going through it myself, but like to imagine like Amaya dealing with what I dealt with, the depression or not feeling good enough wrecks right. me. And I am like, I will not let it happen. Like, I mean, to the best of my ability.
I totally, totally understand that. So I want to talk a little bit about your brand and Squats mm-hmm. and Margarita, and how did you come up with that? What's your goal? What's your purpose? Tell us more about that.
Squats and Margaritas is balance. And for so long I would deprive myself and restrict, and, you know, I only ate salads. I would never like go get cocktails and wine because sugar and carbs and all the things that I wouldn't allow myself. I would work out 7 days in the gym. One part of that was it was only cardio, and that's a whole nother part we can get into, but I just felt like I needed to burn calories on the treadmill 7 days a week, barely ate. When I started eating more, enjoying my life again, allowing daily indulgences, actually daily, like I have a margarita or a glass of wine every day.
I love it.
I have
a girl after my own heart.
I know, but the thing is, I was talking to a nutritionist on my show, and she's like, not every day. And I was like, every day. And she's like, well, sometimes. I mean, she goes, it's not that healthy. And I was like, hear me out. Because I have wine or a margarita every day, like I'll have a glass of wine with dinner, like when I'm making dinner, and then a glass of wine with dinner or after dinner, I can enjoy it in moderation. I don't go out Friday and Saturday night on a bender and drink a bottle of wine. I never feel hungover because it's something that is a part of my daily lifestyle. It's like not as tempting anymore. It's not off limits. So it's not like before it would be like, oh, I had a glass of wine. Might as well have a bottle of wine. I'll start over on Monday. But now it's not, it's just a part of my life. It's not tempting. It's not like exciting. It's like, it's wine. Whereas some people, it's like they have their drinking nights. Like I ate clean and I didn't drink all week. And then Saturday and Sunday, you are wrecked. And like, you can't go to work because you overdo it. When something's part of your life, you can enjoy it in moderation. I can have a bottle of wine open in my fridge and not have to finish it because it's not like tomorrow's not a drinking day. It's always a part of my life. And so I started enjoying my daily indulgences, working out less, which for me, who was like obsessed and bulimic and anorexic in high school and all these things, like I couldn't fathom like eating more, having drinks, working out less would do any kind of weight loss. And Sandy, I weigh 20 pounds less than when I worked out 7 days a week, stressed out about like on vacation, does the hotel have a gym? I have to get a workout in. And I was in a constant state of stress, and I was 20 pounds heavier, working harder, not enjoying my life. So now I do go hard in the gym for like 30 minutes, 4 days a week. Main focus is lifting, which increases your metabolism. And then it makes you burn like the next day. When you're not even working out, whereas cardio still I do for mental like clarity. Like I'll go for a run and just feel good, but it's not for fat loss or weight loss. Mm-hmm. I enjoy my indulgences and I live with balance. It's squats and margaritas. And I know so many women who only do the margarita part and sometimes aren't feeling that great about their bodies. And then I know people on the other side where they count their macros all the time, which is fine if you want to count your macros, but and won't let themselves have the indulgence, and they look great, but they seem sad. Like they're not enjoying their life. So I live in the middle, squats and margaritas, and I have been able to maintain this happy, balanced lifestyle at my ideal weight through two pregnancies. And I was like, I need to share this message with a mom that's thinking like, it's too late. Like I've got kids now, like there's no time. So I'll like put little workouts like during COVID. I was like, your gym's closed. Pick up a case of bottled waters and squat that, or put your son on your back and squat your son. And just trying to motivate somebody, like, don't be like, oh, the gyms are closed. I'm not going to work out. I got to stay home with my kids. Like, no, you matter too. And you can still like make yourself a priority and find happiness that I didn't find until I was 37. And that's when moms think like it's over for them. Like, it's just about the kids now. Like, I'm not going to be in my best body. I already had kids. No, don't think that way. Like, you can have it right. And you can enjoy your life by living with balance. And the book is like exactly how I do that. Recipes, quick little workouts. Like, if you're stuck in a hotel and you just want to do a quick thing, and then just getting rid of the stress. Living with balance just makes me happy, and not living in that constant state of stress. I feel like my body has just gone to where it is supposed to be. It's not holding on to all the extra cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And it trusts me again, because when I eat, I don't throw up my food. When I'm hungry, I eat, I acknowledge my hunger cues and I eat. And it's like, okay, great. She's eating. We're going to burn. Because before, it was holding on to everything because I was so scared about like going over a certain calorie count or a certain macros. And it was just the stress. I have found living life with balance makes me happier, my best body. Mentally, I still, like, I obviously do not practice any of the eating disorders behaviors anymore, but I still have kind of the noise mentally. I never got treatment for that. So as far as I struggle with anxiety, and my therapist has diagnosed me as hypervigilant, which I feel like most moms are like, I cannot sit down and not have load of laundry going or something else happening, or I'm like, I can't do it. And she's like,
so go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's it. She was just like, you need to calm down. Like, why are you cleaning the playroom? I'm like, cause look at the playroom. She's like, so what? I'm like, well, it's not clean. Like, I can't calm down. She's like, you can't calm down if the playroom's not clean. I'm like, yes, that's correct. She's like, no, like you, it's not about the playroom. And I'm like, yeah. And then she goes, well, then you can't clean it. And I was like, no. And I said, well, then I can't walk by it. And she's like, don't walk by it. You can't clean the playroom except at the end of the day. And I'm like, so I do it for 3 days. And then I have a call with her and she's like, how was it? And I was like, it was fine. It's not the playroom. And she's like, exactly. Like you have to like get to the bottom of like why you're feeling certain ways and like why you need to be hypervigilant. And I'm working through it. I focus on my mental health now and I talk to a therapist, and physically I'm in good shape and I'm just on the journey to finding balance like anyone else.
I love it. It's so funny. So much of what you're saying is resonating with me, because I'm also that person who's got that to-do list. And I do think we live in a society where we're told you have to be productive. You have to be doing something, you know, positive with your time. And, you know, you can't just sit down and watch TV. But I mean, you said it though. That's why I have the glass of wine every night, because that is my wind down, right? Yes. That's when I can just for a minute, for the time it takes me to drink this glass of wine. Sometimes that's very quickly and sometimes I'll savor it, but it just depends on what mood I'm in, right?
Exactly.
But that's the thing. It's the experience of it more than anything else that just like helps me to relax. And if I don't have that, then I'm like, whoa, how do I relax? Which I could find other alternatives, I'm sure, but I like this one. Exactly. This one brings me happiness.
And it works for you. If something is working for you, you have to talk to the person. If it's not working, like then maybe they can focus on something else. But this is working for you. Don't ever cut something out that you need to have. And that seems like that's your thing. So if you cut it out, you're either going to be miserable and at some point quit, because you're like, no, I'm having a glass of wine. And then you go off the rails and it's like, I broke it. I cheated.
Right.
Then you got to eat
then
all.
You feel bad.
Then it's guilt and cortisol and stress. Have the thing, have the indulgence. And I have like many indulgences during the day, but a lot of it is because I have turned on my metabolism again by eating often and lifting, but like I'll have something sweet in the morning with my coffee, like a cookie or a cupcake or something. I don't have it after every meal, but I'm not going to cut it out, because at some point I'm going to have it and then I'm going to binge, and I don't want to do that. We were talking to, I wanted to say too, when you're saying like at the end of the day and you checking things off your list, I feel like I validate myself by my checklist, and I have it right here. I check things off. And I think a lot of my noise with that is because my husband's retired and he financially supports us. Like I'm starting to do a little bit on my own, but I feel like he supports us. So I have to do all the things to show my worth. And it's like when I had Teddy Mellencamp, one of the Real Housewives on, and she was like, it's the same thing. Like she would do the same thing. Like he'd come home from work. She's like, look at all the things. Like, look at I did this. I did the dishwasher. And he's like, great. And she's like, no, like, wait. Like she goes, it was me. Like, and I said, I'm the same exact way. No one's, it's not like he's like, did you do the dishes? Is the house clean? He could care less. He could eat Chick-fil-A every single night. But I'm like, look at this dinner. Look at all the things. When she was explaining it, I was like, that is exactly me. Like I validate myself by all the things I checked off. And no one else is holding me to the standard except myself. No one else cares. The kids don't care if the playroom's clean or my husband would go out to eat every night. But I go to bed feeling like I checked off all the things. It was a successful day. And my therapist is like, what if you don't check off one of the things? I was like, I don't know. Like, it's not good. And she's like, it's a thing on the checklist. And I was like, it's not okay. Like I didn't have a good day. And she's like, that you put a lot of pressure on yourself. And I'm like, yeah, that is my validation. I do so many things around the house and I'm working on like, you're more than a checklist of things to do. And if you want to sit down and have a glass of wine, you don't need to feel guilty. And before I'd be like, I'm having a glass of wine because look at all my things that I did, and you don't have to earn it. And you matter too. And life is short and you get one life and you should enjoy it too. And I feel like a lot of moms are like, I can't sit down. Like the house, look at the dishes in the sink and no one else cares except you. Your husband doesn't care. Your kids don't care. It's for you.
That's exactly true. Yeah. It's so funny. I have a life coach and she and I've talked a lot about this because she talks about it in your parts, right? And there's that dictator part of me that's like, I've got this to-do list. I've got to get it done. I've got to check it off. Otherwise I don't feel good about myself. And then 100%. There's that wild child in me, right? That's battling the dictator who's like, I don't want to do this list. I just want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And so there's this constant battle going on. And she's like, you know what a checklist is, right? And I was like, yeah, it's to help me get through my day and figure out what I have to do. She goes, it's a figment of your imagination. She said, you created that. No one else. That's you created that. So, and I'm like, oh my God, she's so right.
I know.
Like, I'm battling this in my head. Like I've got to get this done or or I didn't have a good day, or, you know, I didn't have a productive enough day. And it is just me at the end of the day. It is all me. I created it.
And think about like the stigmas when you're talking about busting the stigmas, like the mental health and having a therapist, a therapist and your life coach both like uncovered that for us. Like it's like, if I wasn't talking to my therapist or you weren't talking to your life coach, to have somebody else being like, and somebody that's like not partial, like I can't be like talking to my husband or my best friend about it. Somebody that is just impartial and is looking at your life and is just like so easily saying, well, that is this, and you're hypervigilant and you just need to. It's just, it seems so easy, but I feel like moms are like therapy. And for me, I was like, how self-indulgent. I'm going to go talk about myself for an hour when all these dishes are here and all these things. And she's like, you going to therapy is way better for your family and everyone around you than you doing the dishes. Like, don't feel guilty about working on yourself. Like, it was like taking time away from my family to go talk to the therapist. And she's like, you are so hard on yourself. And I feel like so many moms try to hit this standard that some people are setting on Instagram, and that is their highlight reel. Like they're only showing those things because they had some bad things that happened, but that's not something that you think of. I'm going to take a picture, put that on Instagram, because nobody does that. We should start doing it because then everyone would be like, oh my God. And it makes you like feel some influencers that have like a million followers and they're following this perfect page. Wouldn't you feel better if someone was following you because they relate to you and they see themselves in you? And that's how you build your community. Like somebody that's like not wearing makeup and showing just all of it, show the messy playground, like playroom. Like sometimes like when I would, even just like last year, I would take, it'd be something my kids were doing cute. And I'm like, no, move. Cause it was like the mess in the background. That's real life. And no one is, everybody's playroom looks like that. Like it's not, they're only showing their highlight reel. So what you're comparing to is one thing that happened that day because no one takes a picture of the belly rolls. Like start showing the belly rolls and be like, cause why would it's not flattering. It's real. Like that's what, just be you. And if somebody is liking you for your highlight reel, that's not even you anyway. So, and people that like, I can go on and on, like the people that use like Facetune and put on all like do stuff to their face and slim down their thighs and all these things, like for this beautiful Instagram page that people think is a certain way about you, you're going to be in public at some point. Someone's going to see that that is not you. So you're getting praised for something that is not you. What kind of praise? Why would you want someone to praise something else? It's like, it baffles me. Oh, they said I look really pretty, but I shaved 4 inches off my legs. Like it's not even you. So like those aren't even likes, and the followers are following something that's not even real and that has been like spruced up. Like it's just, I don't know how you could find value in that.
Right. I don't know. Right. You know, I remember years ago, and then this was a while ago, Jamie Lee Curtis did a cover of a magazine, and then she's like, here's the real picture, right?
Yes.
And it was so eye-opening. It was one of the first times I think we've really seen, especially a celebrity, come out and do that. And I was like, kudos to her, because she was just saying, this is real. And we're trying to live up to this image, as you said before, that isn't real.
It's doctored. It's edited. It's not real. Right. Nobody looks like that. I put this in my book. I will never say who it is, but I sat behind a reality star and I could see through the seats. In this entire flight, she's editing her Instagram pictures. And I am watching her. I don't know what this app, she would like take a picture of herself and kind of zoom it to like her legs, and she's shaving down her legs, her arms. And I'm like, I'm watching this like, no, she posted it, got him like 500,000 likes. And like, she knows that's not her. And now somebody, there's a 16-year-old girl like, oh my God, starving herself, thinking like, look at those legs. They're not her legs. I saw her do it. Like, that's not something to strive to try to get. It's not real. So the more people that share that, and you made me think of Brooke Shields, like sharing her, her postpartum, like everybody's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. I'm just, it's just hard motherhood. And she's like, I wasn't fine. And then it made so many other women be like, oh my God, okay, this is normal. Like that's what we have to do for other women.
Right.
And we all have to be on board. Right. Like it is slowly getting better. I feel like people are posting unedited pictures, and I love it, especially as my daughter gets older.
Yeah. Even Glennon Doyle, I just saw, she's like so excited. She went on Ellen with no makeup on.
She's
like, I was so happy. And it's so awesome that she did that. Cause usually it's like, you know, you're going on TV, you gotta be full of makeup and all this stuff. So good for her.
Yes.
And you know, what I feel that I've really gotten out of this conversation is that just being yourself and being yourself to in front of everyone else is true freedom. So this has been great. Thank you so much for joining us. How can people find you? How can they find your website? Not your home.
Yeah. My address is, my website is squatsandmargaritas.com. That's my blog, and you can find like recipes there. Mostly active on Instagram, Squats and Margaritas. And I have a new podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and it's Squats and Margaritas.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been great. I love having you on. We'll have to have you come back. I know there's a lot more we could explore here, so definitely. So you've been listening to the Her Journey Told podcast, powered by Pivotal Moments, and keep looking for additional episodes coming soon. Thanks. You've been listening to the Her Journey Told podcast, powered by Pivotal Moments. For more inspirational content, go to pivotalmoments.org. I'm Sandy Lutton. Thanks so much for joining us. Make sure to keep an eye out for more episodes where podcasts can be heard. See you next time.